never been edible. I'm a cracker, not a vegetable, fed to an extraterrestrial. The beat is so electrical, it'll pump your heart ventricles, but I bet you will eject it if I start getting intellectual. I am welcome not back. Incredible, so until I can say I'm credible.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, the show that is not credible, but is definitely incredible, like an edible extraterrestrial. And my very special guest is William Klaus. Welcome back. Now, we've only got about 10 or 12 minutes or something like that to wrap up the show here, like the mafia wrap up a body in a carpet. So go for your life. What is it that you'd like to share with us now?
Essentially, so this is my journey, you know, and this is where I've been and where I am now. I think the Sync community, which is basically what it can be known, you know, a lot of people know the name Jake Kotza, a brilliant guy. There's so many people out there who I could say, Alan Green, David Plate, Will Morgan, Douglas Bowles. I'm going to forget all of you, Sybil Hunter, Mark LeClaire. We're under this umbrella. Alan Green has put out 2 books of the Sync book, 26 authors in each book. There are 52 different voices, basically, who have wrestled with this mystery in their lives, and they put themselves out there to talk about their experiences, how they process the experience, what their theory is. And really what it's all about for me is sort of when you open the mind's eye, you know, and you open the doors of perception and you reveal that lens, there's a lot of smudge on it. You know, Philip K. Dick wrote a book called Through a Scanner Darkly. Synchronicities are these little sparkles that direct you in the ways that you should go about polishing that lens to clearing it so that you can see the universe more directly, become more in tune with what it is that what it's all about, essentially, right? So, you know, I mentioned Philip K. Dick. He's, I think, a person who suffered greatly from not living in the internet age. He's a great science fiction writer. He writes, his novels meant a whole lot to me because they deal with madness. And that's probably the one ingredient in the story that is apparent, but, you know, the pain and the cruelty that the universe can sometimes inflict upon you, that's everyone's got their share. So I'm not going to sit here and cry and whine about it. But Philip K. Dick.
Yeah, really, yeah. You're not going to sit around here like Ayahuasca the Grouch.
But Philip K. Dick informed his novels with the individual in a universe that changes suddenly and how they go about trying to put it all back together. And synchronicity is one of these tools that I think people should know about so that they, when the universe does change on them, because it does happen, it's a tool, a very powerful tool for trying to put the pieces back together again. And basically I've been recently reading these selected letters of Philip K. Dick. And the way things work, it's just bizarre. I was invited to interview his ex-wife, Tessa Dick, and I was also invited to interview David Gill of totaldickhead.blogspot.com. And basically, this is my final sort of message with synchronicity and what I'm coming to understand just exactly what synchronicity is it's the Holy Spirit. It for me, you know, it's in my individual world, is I go back to sort of that Catholic operating system. Everything, it goes in circles and cycles, and I reconnected with that Catholic teaching of the Trinity, you know.
Oh my God, that's exactly what I've been thinking about these last couple of months as well. It's like it's coming back in a circle for me, back to my Catholic upbringing. I'm becoming kind of like more Christian, and I'm like, whoa, how did that happen?
It's phenomenal. And this understanding of the Holy Spirit is something that really isn't discussed in most Catholic education and in the Mass. But Philip K. Dick wrote a lot about the Holy Spirit. You know, it's also known as Sophia, wisdom, or the Logos, or as I like to call it, or as someone put more accurately, the living word. What is the living word? The word is communication. Voices speak words. This is the voice of God that's being communicated through our universe. We're saturated in media. Why can't God speak through media, right? It's when you get deep into this connection and deep into this understanding, it's nice to find something like the Holy Spirit instead of something like Satan, you know, because I think ultimately you come to this fork in the road with this kind of research and this kind of mystery, and you can either decide it's all evil, that the universe is here to grind you up and spit you out, that it's here to destroy you, that death is certain for everybody, and that this is just a bad place. And I certainly felt like that might be true. I've spent weeks in that mindset where that was true, you know. But I've even when that was true, I still made it through the day and kept going forward. And to now, my understanding is, you know, the sinking is everywhere. You know, you can see this Holy Spirit in everything if you only have the lens to see it. But it's the polishing of that lens. It's the work that you have to do to make sure that your lens is as clear and as precise as it can be, that you can start to see that. And I
reminds me of something that Bill Hicks said. He said watching television is like taking a black spray paint can and spraying it over your third eye.
Right. No. But I think there's great work done by people who will tell you, no, you can still see that in television, but you have to change the sense ratios of your mind. You have to get educated. You know, you can't say, I didn't like math as a kid. You know what? Just because the educational system wasn't able to teach you calculus by the age of 17 doesn't mean you can't learn calculus by the age of 30 or 40 or 50. But if you upload calculus into your brain, you're going to see the universe differently, and you owe it to yourself to not say, you know, my educational system was a piece of crap. It didn't understand me as a person, and it wasn't able to teach me calculus. I have that ability. I'm a human being. Calculus is something that human beings came up with. It's a revelation of a cosmic order. And go take a class or go on the internet and find how to learn how to do calculus. If you don't know how to do calculus and you don't know how to do algebra, start with algebra. Do geometry. People called it sacred geometry for a reason, because it opened up the universe. Believe that you are smarter than your original operating system. Believe that you are smarter than what they tell you on television. Challenge yourself every day to take on these cognitive challenges to sharpen your lens and become more powerful and more in control of your destiny. And it's, you know, a sappy message maybe. But usually that, you know, I've just found out that stuff tends to turn out to be true. And, you know, be brave enough to look like a fool. Be brave enough to be sappy and corny. Laugh at yourself every day. This is just what I've learned.
You know, I appear to have gotten it down.
Well, I mean, you've got the greatest hair in radio, right?
It's true. I don't have a face for radio. Sorry.
But, you know, as I've been on this podcast, I've done this blog, I was invited onto Red Ice Radio to do an interview. And what's amazing, when you put yourself out there, people will attack. They'll tell you that you're crazy. They'll tell you that they're wrong. Some people might even tell you that you're part of an MK Ultra propaganda machine and question who your handler is and who you're working for. There's a lot of angry people out there. And that's just because they're frustrated beyond anger with the position they are in their life at this moment. And their lens is a little too clouded, and they're not seeing the beauty and the joy or the Holy Spirit that's surrounding them. And you got to be patient with these people. And I don't think I think you need to be strong enough to enter into a dialogue with these people and to continue to kind of listen to their tortured message and try to pass on a little bit of humor. pass on a little bit of understanding, reflect upon where maybe I was at that point in my life, and to try to even share the time with the people who see, you know, like I said, there is conspiracy, but conspiracy isn't in everything. It isn't in my work. I'm just a dude who's telling you where I am right now and where I've been and where I might be going. And, you know, if you're seeing a conspiracy in the work that I'm doing or the work of Alan Green with Sync Book Press, I'm just, you know, you're just, I think you're in the wrong place, you know?
Yeah. I do think that what happens is when you get into the idea of conspiracy, you begin to believe that everything's a conspiracy. And what's interesting is if you don't believe in conspiracy, you believe that people who do believe in conspiracy think everything's a conspiracy. And people who come to this, Vinny, you think everything's a conspiracy? I say, no, not everything's a conspiracy, just most things. You know, occasionally there'll be things that aren't the result of a complete and utter scumbag kind of thing. There's plenty of genuine people out there who just, you know, get stuff wrong or whatever. It doesn't mean they're part of MK Ultra, that they're a Delta or a Beta or a Theta or a Sata or a Satan or something like that, you know. Who cares? Well, what have these people got going on in their lives? And the answer is they don't have a whole lot going on in their lives. That's the problem. It's because you try to live your life vicariously through other people's experiences, other people's research, and you ain't got nothing of your own to contribute, so all you do is repeat, attack, and push out. And you got nothing to push out with, okay? Go out there, do something of your own. And here's the point, and I think you made this point earlier. Turn on, tune in, drop out. What do you do after all of that? You go and find some people. You find the others, man. I've seen this happen to a number of truthers, bro. They wake up to the New World Order, they start exposing scumbaggery, and they don't find anybody who agrees with them, so they become bitter, and they wind up hating humanity as a result. All right, William Klaus has been my very special guest, ayahuasca.blogspot.com. Go and check it out, and we'll see you again sometime, folks.